The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Time to head back to 1936 to the Berlin Olympic Games. Ireland was one of two countries to boycott the Games alongside the Spanish Republic. Off the Ball's Cameron Hale joins me now to tell us why. Hi Cameron.
Hello, how are you?
How did Berlin come to host the Games in the first place?
Right, so this is a carryover from 1931 when they're awarded the Games. So actually Ireland submitted a bid to host the 1936 Games.
Oh, okay.
As well as 1940. And so that might have something to do with why 36 kind of we decided to skip it. So spearheading that campaign was General Owen O'Duffy, the Garda Commissioner and head of the Irish Olympic Council and of the Blue Shirts fame. History will know him. So he cited Ireland's hosting of the 1932 Eucharistic Congress as evidence that Ireland could host major international events. Don't think it would have quite so much weight these days, the Eucharistic Congress, in terms of showing off.
I was thinking that
skills.
Myself. Yeah.
But he said Ireland's long-standing tradition in athletics would also make it a country worth hosting the 1940 Games. So Pat O'Callaghan and Bob Tisdall had claimed gold medals in athletics for Ireland at the 32 Games in Los Angeles. And then O'Duffy is dismissed as both the Garda Commissioner and the Irish Olympic Council President in 1933 when Fianna Fáil take over. That kind of brings to an end the idea that Dublin could host the Games, and the 1936 edition eventually go to Berlin.
Okay. Okay. And how did that fit into the broader political context in Germany at the time?
So it was tough. It was a carryover from the Weimar Republic, who were in charge before the Nazis took power in 1933. So Hitler, not really sure about these Olympic Games, this kind of holdover from the last guys. He wasn't big on sport. He didn't love individual glory being taking precedence over a team ethic, and hated the focus on internationalism, world peace that the Olympic movement strives for. But he did like the idea of showing off the Nazi ideology of the supremacy of the Aryan race, and he was obsessed with ancient Greece Hitler. So he saw the Aryans as descendants of the supreme beings of classic antiquity, and sport and athletics in fascist ideology is a great demonstration of how people who are good at sports have outstanding moral fibre and are great human beings generally. Mm. Kind of links back to muscular Christianity that emerges in the Victorian era. Thankfully, we don't think of sports people as, you know, morally totally incorruptible these days, thank God.
Yeah, for sure. So Ireland boycotted then. Was it simply because we weren't hosting? Were there other reasons?
So we were one of two, as you mentioned. The Spanish Republic were the other big guys who boycotted on ideological grounds. So they were governed by the Republicanos at this stage, a centralist leftist government. They actually tried to set up their own People's Olympiad to compete with the Berlin Games a month before it was due to take place. And this was something, it was quite common in the early part of the 20th century to set up an opposition to the Olympic Games, a competing game. So in 1921, for instance, there was the Women's World Games because Pierre de Coubertin, the father of the modern Olympic movement, not a great fan of women playing sport. So actually, a woman named Sophie Pierce Evans from Limerick was part of the movement to get the Women's World Games to take place in 1921. And as I said, Spain set up the People's Olympiad. A load of nations are set to take part in July of 1936. Mere days before the Games are due to take place, this little skirmish, which eventually becomes the Spanish Civil War, breaks out. And actually, one of the French athletes due to partake in the Games was killed in action in Barcelona, and the Games were then cancelled as a result. Ireland, on the other hand, boycotted because there was a bit of a dispute between the Irish Olympic Council and the IAAF, who governed world athletics at the time. They weren't going to allow Ireland to pick any athletes from the six counties that make up Northern Ireland. Okay. So no athletes from Antrim, Armagh, Down, Derry, Fermanagh and Tyrone could compete under the Irish flag. So on that basis, the then president of the IOC, the Irish Olympic Council, Éamon Ned Broy, said, well, we're just not going to compete at your Games, sorry. And they boycotted 1936.
It's interesting when you consider how successful we were in Paris 2024 with three of our medals coming from athletes from the north.
Yeah, I mean, when I was thinking about this, it feels like the real reason should be, no, we oppose Nazi ideology. But this is such a complicated issue when you think of the history of politics and sport on this island. You mentioned, like, Reece McClenaghan won gold for Ireland. He's from Newton Ards in County Down. Mahara Lynn's, what, Daniel Whiffen won gold and bronze in 2024. Think of people like Rory McIlroy, Ciara McGeehan, Michael Conlon, Aisha McFerrin, who wouldn't have been allowed to compete for Ireland as a result of this ruling. So actually, I think it was probably fair game for them to say, no, this is complicated. This is worth boycotting an Olympic Games for.
Mm. How did the Nazis utilise the Games then?
Pretty well. So actually, it's really interesting. We kind of shun 1936 as a black mark on the Olympic movement, but we still carry along a lot of things that were introduced for that game. So the torch relay is the big thing that everyone points to. The Olympic flame being carried from Mount Olympus in Greece to the Olympic cauldron at the Olympiastadion in Berlin. This wasn't part of the ancient games. There was an Olympic fire at the time, but there was no torch relay. That was totally an invention of Carl Diem, one of the organisers of the games. And Nazis were big into torches. So you think of, like, imagery from the Nuremberg rally, there's loads of torches there. So combining that with the link between the Aryans and the ancient Greeks was a no-brainer. And it created this huge pomp and ceremony around the games as the build-up came up to the games eventually taking place in August 1936. Other things, so it was the first one to be shown on TV or televised, and was broadcast to a select amount of German theatres on closed circuit television. And the games were famously captured in this documentary by German filmmaker Leni Riefenstahl called Olympia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the techniques she uses are used in modern sports broadcasting and media. So I was in the Olympiastadion on Monday, and it's funny, you see the imagery of the big cauldron in the Olympic Stadium and it looks huge, gargantuan. Really, it's only the size of, like, a large kitchen sink, and it's because of the forced perspective and the camera tilting upwards that it looks far larger, which is such a big part of modern sports broadcasting.
Yeah. I want to talk about Jesse Owens, who participated in this Games. Tell us about him.
The star of the Games, yeah. So he wins gold in the 100 metres, the 200 metres, the 4x100 metre relay and the long jump, and is seen now as kind of a symbol of defiance against the Berlin Games, this Games that was supposed to show off the supremacy of the Aryan race, an African-American athlete basically putting it to Hitler and embarrassing him at his home Games. There is this myth that Hitler snubbed Jesse Owens and wouldn't shake his hands as a result of him winning. Mm. It's not exactly true.
Okay.
So on the first day, Hitler was only shaking hands with German gold medalists. And it was actually the organisers who told him, listen, you either shake hands with everybody or you don't shake hands with anybody. He chose the latter. So he didn't necessarily snub Owens.
He snubbed just, everyone.
He snubbed everyone, right?
Yeah.
And actually, after the games, Owens said, I wasn't snubbed by Hitler. It was actually Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the then US president, who snubbed me. He never even sent me a telegram. And only white Olympians were invited into the White House for the homecoming ceremony after the games in 1936. African Americans were not allowed. It's very interesting.
It is very interesting. And it's also very interesting that this kind of wasn't rectified, or they weren't recognised, until 2016 then, when the then President Barack Obama invited them to the White House, and their relatives, their surviving relatives, I should say.
Yeah, and it's still a thorny issue. Like, 18 African Americans competed for the US at the Berlin Games. And it's sort of pointed to these days as the hypocrisy of Americans who gave out about the sort of the perspective on Jewish athletes competing at the Berlin Olympics and the thorny issue around that, compared to the treatment of their own athletes who were, they were perfectly happy to have don the stars and stripes on the track, but when they got home, they weren't even recognised.
Yeah. Tell me about Helen Mayer as well. She's very interesting.
Yeah, and she's co-opted as a sort of symbol of, well, we're not actually all that bad. We're quite soft on the Jewish population in this country, in Germany. So there was a big fear that, given what had happened with the Nuremberg laws being passed a year before, that Jewish athletes would not be allowed to compete at the Games, which would be a bad look for the Olympic movement. A bad look. So Avery Brundage, who was the president of the American Olympic Committee and would be an IOC president and a notorious anti-Semite, it must be said, said that, well, we've received assurances that Jewish athletes would not be barred from competing at the games. And there's a big sort of campaign of sports washing that goes on in Germany at this time. So all the anti-Jewish slogans around Berlin taken down, streets are cleaned up, the SA are on their best behavior. And you mentioned Helen Meyer, who was a German fencer who'd been stripped of her German citizenship in 1935, moved to America, comes back, competes for Germany, wins silver, and gave the Nazi salute on the podium, a poster girl for this new tolerance of the regime. And she apparently claimed afterwards that the gesture had effectively saved the lives of her family members who were then in German labour camps.
Insane. Just right? Insane, but fascinating all the same. That's the 1936 Berlin Olympics. Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you for joining me, talking all about that today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.